Welcome to That 80s Show, and it is quite unfortunately a very happy song for a very somber moment, Dari.
I know. We weren't expecting that, Olivia. We weren't. We were thinking you'd be with us a bit longer.
So, of course, if you don't know what we're talking about, Olivia Newton-John passing away this past weekend. We don't normally talk about people when they've passed away because we're just happy and, quite frankly, we can't keep track of. A very sad because she was sick for a very long time.
Yeah, it seems to be. I mean, some of the news reports said the cause of death was not disclosed, but I think officially it was that, you know, she had cancer that had come back in, I think it was 2018. And I think there was hope that she would beat it, but, you know, it doesn't look like that was the case.
Yeah, and we have our own little story because the chart savant, a.k.a. the celeb savant, a.k.a. Barrett Edelstein, a.k.a. the man about town. He had, as you know, he sets up all our interviews, and he had set up with Olivia Newton-John and spoken to her people, and they did say, they had mentioned that she was battling cancer, but when she's back on the interview trail, we're first in line.
I know. So we were hopeful, and we wished, and that's why we were so shocked.
You want to give me, Dari, you had quite a nice Facebook post. Once again, your yellow Sony Walkman came into play.
I couldn't resist because when I found out the news, like, I got overwhelmed with emotion and nostalgia and had to share my story of, and it did come flooding back to me that before Make It Big by Wham came out, and I was probably, let's go with maybe 10 years old when I got my yellow Sony Walkman. Very excited that literally lived on me in my early teens. Well, my tweens, as they would call it now.
What did they call us in the 80s? There was no such tween.
Children.
Children. Assholes. That's what they called us, assholes.
I don't know. But yes, before Make It Big by Wham, the cassette tape that lived, and I've definitely bought it at CNA for probably $3.99, was Physical by Olivia Newton-John. And I used to listen to it over and over again. And it was my favorite.
So that is, and just a few weeks ago, we always reference Grease, even though it wasn't technically an 80s movie, mainly from the point of view. I mean, Olivia Newton-John was just like sex bomb, though. I mean, we started off the show, if you're listening on the podcast, we started off the show with Physical. And that was not so much her being sexy, but you got to check out the music video. We'll put it on our Facebook page, That 80s Show Essay. Lots of men.
Yes, it was short shorts galore.
Very homoerotic, if there ever was a time to use that word. So, Olivia Newton-John, rest in peace. And, you know, just recently, the past 2 weeks, it's a theory that keeps popping up about the end scene of Grease, right? You ever heard that theory about Grease? That the whole of Grease is, I mean, it's one of like, what was that stupid theory you had saying elsewhere's? Where everything was in the snow globe?
Oh, no, that wasn't my theory. That was literally how they made the TV show end, saying elsewhere, where it was all in the imagination of the autistic son's brain.
Yeah, so the whole thing was in the snow globe. If you want to find out about it, don't. Take a walk outside. Take your shoes off. Go walk on the grass. Reassess your life because you don't want to know that. But this theory goes and keeps popping up that Grease... So, you know, when, Danny Zuko rescues, what's his name, Danny Zuko? When he rescues her on the beach and he gives her mouth to mouth, the theory is that he didn't revive her. She died. Okay. And everything that followed is actually her in heaven, right? It's all her purgatory because the closing scene of Grease, I posted it on our Facebook page as like kind of like our RIP for Olivia Newton-John, is when the car flies off into the sky and they both look back, and that's kind of like that whole high school thing was purgatory, and then the movie ending is her going to heaven. That's why she wasn't in the sequel.
I actually didn't know that, but that scene is very reminiscent of like Thelma and Louise, like the two of them in the car flying off the edge.
The only flaw in it means that where did Danny Zuko die?
But I remember when I delved into Grease 2, when I recommended it a few weeks ago, there was something about how they did want to bring those characters back, but I think they were unavailable because they were doing other things. So then they didn't bring, but there was a plan to bring them back in.
Okay. Olivia Newton-John was too big. John Travolta got too big. So maybe that's why. But that's the theory. That's the theory. Olivia Newton-John chat on that 80s show. And regret never being able to meet her on Zoom or otherwise. So, Dori, Max Headroom. You remember Max Headroom, right, from the 80s. Tell me what you remember about it.
My memory of Max Headroom from my childhood was in the Art of Noise music video for Paranoia. That's where I first encountered Max Headroom.
So if you don't remember Max Headroom, take a listen to this.
Still alive out there?
Good. This is Max Headroom.
That was Max Headroom. So if you don't remember him, he popped up in the 80s. He was a CGI news presenter. That was the story around him, okay? Did you ever watch the show that he has linked to?
I didn't.
If you remember, in your mind, maybe you just want to take a pause here, Google Max Headroom, that 80s show SA Facebook page, or post up a picture of him, right? In it, Max Headroom is like the CGI. He's got this weird, like, riveted, it looks like CGI hair, but he looks like a CGI news presenter with, like, a weird background. He was on a lot of ads. But in the story about his show, I think the show is called Max Headroom Experience. It is a reporter who's like this crazy investigative reporter. Everyone loves him. And then he dies. But the TV network that he works for goes, no, well, if he dies, it's a dystopian future. Dystopian. There's only dystopian futures, right? As the past few years have taught us, the future is fucking dystopian. It wasn't a lie, right? So Max Headroom, dies, the real man. So they create the CGI version and they basically upload him in so they can keep their ratings. That's the story of the show, the Max Headroom Experience. And Max Headroom kind of becomes a cultural phenomenon. He actually wasn't CGI at all. It was a man in a prosthetic makeup and they kind of like just shot it weird. But he wasn't, you remember the actor, Dori?
I do. It was Matt Frewer, who was also in some other silly shows that I can't remember. But I remember him specifically. And I mean, if you know him, you can instantly recognize that it's him.
Yeah, yeah. So he had this costume on. They made him up. They did makeup. It wasn't really a CGI thing. And it was quite revolutionary for the time. They shot him in front of a blue screen. That's how long ago. Green screens are new. They had blue screens. And he became a bit of a thing, kind of foreboding. A lot of the things are quite weird. He kind of, the future that he was reporting on is very eerily similar to our future. So last week, our failed attempt at doing that 80s show, we were going to talk about the remake that they're going to do of Max Headroom. They're going to, same actor, he's going to come back. Weird that they didn't do a CGI. And if he had died, the question is, would they have, you know, Princess Leia'd him, you know, and brought him back using old clips? Elijah Wood is the producer of the show. So, you know, they're going, I won't watch it, don't care for. And that was our story for Max Headroom last week. But then I did some research. Dori, have you ever heard about the Max, they call it the Max Headroom conspiracy, the Max Headroom, the Wikipedia entry is called the Max Headroom signal hijacking. You ever heard of this?
No, I have not.
Well, you kind of have because I asked you to watch a video yesterday, right? 1987, they're in Chicago. This only happened in Chicago. There, people are watching, American football, Monday Night Football, and suddenly there's a break in transmission with this, fuck, it's so weird. If you can picture in your mind's eye Max Headroom, right? I want you to just quickly, it's on that our Facebook page right now. That 80 show SA Facebook, I'm gonna put it on right now. Dori's just busy doing that. What it was, what actually pops up on the screen, you're watching American football, what pops up on screen is a guy wearing a Max Headroom rubber face mask, acting all Max Headroomy. And in the background, there's this like weird corrugated iron thing, must be like on a mechanism, spinning it in circles. So kind of to create the Max Headroom, but it's not Max Headroom. It's a real person that is creepy as shit. Okay. So that pops up first. Okay. What I've just showed Dori now. Dori, if you can describe it.
It kind of looks like, You know, there was it in Point Break where they did that robbery with the Ronald Reagan masks? It looks like somebody in a mask like that, but just trying to be all horror show is the only way I can explain it. Like, just trying to freak people out.
It's very Saw-ish. You know the movies, what's that guy's name in Saw, that guy, right? It's very Saw-ish when you're like trapped in a dungeon and this video pops up. So that is the first one. Disappears after 34 seconds. When the guy who was kind of anchoring the football show comes back on, he's like trying to explain it away as like, oh, some gremlins creeped into the system, right? The TV station, tears the place apart, trying to figure out who the hell is planted, because they go, it's someone inside the building. Surely someone inside the building has done this. Tear it apart, can't find the person. Like, how the hell did this happen? Which of our employees has gone rogue? A little later, so this happened about 7 o'clock. A little later, around about 11 o'clock, watching Doctor Who, of all shows, different channel, but still in the Chicago TV station, another video plays, right, Dory? And this is the one I asked you to watch. All these videos are going on that 80 Show SA Facebook page, right? But Dory, if you want to explain, right, what people can see for themselves. So remember, this is now Max Headroom. Somebody's wearing a Max Headroom rubber mask that kind of makes him look quite Point Breakish, right? His movement is creepy. It's very erratic. And he's speaking because Max Headroom, you heard earlier, spoke in that like kind of like jolted voice, like when your Zoom call fucks out, right? This guy's trying to replicate that. He's using some other sort of vocoder 1987 device. So it's kind of like what rock bands used to use in the time. But the second video, much longer, the one that pops up in Doctor Who, what is happening?
Okay, he says a whole lot of stuff that I can't even remember what he was saying, but it was all mentioning names that I don't know who they are, referencing people. And then at some point, he says, my brother's wearing the other mask, or was it the glove? Because he held up like a glove, and he's like, my brother's wearing the other one. And then he turns around, and he's kind of facing sideways with his pants down, and this woman is standing there whipping his butt. I'm so confused and disturbed.
So were you, and so were many other people, because now this gets investigated. Once they realize this is not coming from within the TV station, somebody has hacked the signal, which is like major no-no. In America, they've got FCC, which is kind of like in control of broadcast signals. You would have heard Eminem rapping about them. The FCC won't let me be. The FBI gets into the investigation because now this is TV transmission. So they figure out it must have been somebody on the outside would have put some sort of frequency hijacking modulator in between and broadcast from wherever they were onto the TV station. To this day, no one has ever come forward claiming responsibility for it. To this day, right? They've offered amnesty, offered reward, no idea who the hell did it. And that is the Max Headroom incident. All the videos are on that 80 Show Facebook page. Dory, will you ever sleep again after watching that?
Well, thanks for giving me another unsolved mystery to like lose sleep over, Paolo, because there's many and I have Google alerts on all of them. Now I'm going to have to do a Google alert for this as well.
That Google alert is called the Max Headroom Incident. We're going to put the links, all the videos on that 80 Show SA Facebook page. Check it out. Yet more useless stuff coming out of that 80 Show. And we haven't even started with our movie recommendations. Each week we go into the video store of our brains. What video store? What was your video store called in the 80s?
Oh my goodness.
100%. Gonna bet you it was called the Top Video, Best Video, Video Block Buster. Mine was called Top Video.
I remember that it was attached to the Checkers. So you like there was the entrance to the Checkers, and just to the left was this little video shop, and it was very dark. And it was so exciting to go there and find cool movies that turned out to be terrible.
Come on, Dory. It's like the name of your first pet. You can't forget. Like, we're movie nerds, right? So anyway, Dory, we've held it over. We had movies last week. Oh, the Gremlins last week. Oh, the Gremlins. Did they get us? Fed the little bitches after midnight. Let's get into your movie recommendation for this week.
I am doing a bit of a 180 from last week, which you will remember. was The Thing. I thought I'd better swing back to a bit more of an intellectual, grown-up, arty, less horrifying type thing. This movie is, I actually read the book that became this movie. You remember a while back I did Room with a View, which was The Merchant Ivory, set in Edwardian England, all very, what's the word?
Boring snooze fest, but if you want just a word, boring.
I doubt you will have seen this movie, and even if you haven't, you probably won't want to, because it's not for you, Paolo. This movie actually was not a huge success in terms of, like, even the makers of it and the cast were like, this wasn't his greatest work. Again, based on a book by E.M. Forster. And it was a book that was not released in his lifetime because it was a book about homosexuality, which in the early 1900s was very no-no. And E.M. Forster did not want to out himself. But he did a book called Maurice, spelt Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E. And it's a love story between, I suppose, two to three men, because there's the main character, Maurice, and then he has his first love, and then he ends up with his real love after that, because his first love turns out to be not a real love. It's a very sweet story, and then the great thing about it is, even though it's like set in the time when this kind of thing was absolutely not acceptable, it does have a happy ending. But the most interesting thing about this movie is that it was the movie that actually, Hugh Grant is in it. But this is before Hugh Grant became Hugh Grant. He had only done one film before this, and it was like, I don't know, I've never even heard of it, the film that he did before this. And it also stars James Wilby, who you will not know who he is unless you've watched every single British drama that has ever been made. He's done a lot of stuff, but all British. And like Hugh Grant, who burst into the Hollywood scene. And Rupert Graves, who's one of my favorite actors. And you'll know Rupert Graves. If you've watched Sherlock, Rupert Graves is the cop. And also starring Denholm Elliott, Simon Callow, and Ben Kingsley. It's a very sweet story. It's very entertaining. The entire movie is on YouTube. In fact, there are two versions on YouTube, because there was a longer version, which is the director's cut, and then they shortened it for release. So both versions are on YouTube. You can choose which one you want to watch. Really pleasant. I don't know what else to say. Like, if it's not your kind of thing to watch these Merchant Ivory type epic, what would we call them, period dramas, then don't. Just one little mention that Helena Bonham Carter is notoriously linked to these films. She was, of course, the main star in Room with a View. She was also in Howard's End, which was his other famous novel. She does make an appearance in Maurice, but she's uncredited. She's literally just a random person who pitches up in one scene as a random person, as a random character. So yes, Paolo, my movie recommendation, not for you, but for people with taste, is Maurice.
Okay. You want to talk about a movie that you're not going to watch, or a movie of yours I'm not going to watch. I'm going to tell you about a movie of mine that you're not going to watch, right? In this movie, a family moves into an apartment block. The apartment block is full of interesting characters. There is an ex-army vet who's like obsessed with fitness. There's a cranky, ratchety, horrible old lady that the kids don't like. There is a swinger, right? This is the 80s, right? This is how weren't we fucked up? Because this was a movie made for kids, but one of the key characters in it was a swinger. The swinger was played by Sonny Bono. Right? Okay. Now, Sonny Bono was only available for a few days to shoot it, so any scene with him was very sloppily done, and he's only in like a couple of them, and every time you see him, otherwise he's either hidden or he's being taken over by something. Now, why do I say taken over by something? So, the young girl, okay, it's a family, nuclear family, mother, father, sister, brother. The young girl is exploring around the apartment block and goes into the laundry room. Now, remember, in the 80s, in apartment blocks, flats, if you had a laundry room in the flat, that was a huge selling feature. You know, nowadays, it's like inverters, solar power. Back then, laundry room inside. So she goes in the laundry room, and she stumbles upon a creature, a troll, okay? So this troll, his story is he was a wizard who got cursed. And the only way he can break the curse is he's got to turn this whole apartment block, basically got to possess everybody and convert them into woodland creatures, mythical creatures, elves, fairies, sprites. It's called troll, not trolls, troll, because he's the only troll. He's a wizard. So he goes around this whole apartment block, and he first finds a little girl, possesses her. He now inhabits the little girl's spirit, her body. He's in her body. And from here, he now starts moving around the whole apartment, taking over everyone's apartment block or apartment and turning each one into a different mythical realm. Right? So he goes from one to the other. Nobody suspects that the little girl's a troll except she starts eating. And her brother notices something weird about her. He notices bizarre behavior. Now, the brother's name, the actor who plays the brother, his name is Noah Hathaway. Why does that ring a bell to you, Dory? Does it ring a bell? So he has a movie in a mythical realm. I think lightning going to strike twice. Noah Hathaway, his previous role was as Itru in Neverending Story.
Ah, okay.
So they think, okay, cool, we got Itru. I mean, this guy was kind of side character. Came out, everyone loved him, right? So this is his first movie. He's the only one that notices. So now he goes, okay, my sister's been possessed by this troll. I'm going to rescue her. So each time the skull goes into an apartment, overtakes was the troll, overtakes it and turns it into a woodland. It turns into like each apartment now is like fairyland, woodlands, woods, elven coves and things like that. One of the dwellers, inhabitants, residents of the apartment block, kooky woman played by Julia Louise Dreyfus, Elaine from Seinfeld, right? She becomes a nymph, not a nymphomaniac, a nymph. I mean, Dory, you do reading and you just recommended Morris. What is your movie?
Morris.
I imagine Shakespearean and Victorian and Edwardian times had nymphs. What's a nymph?
You mean in woodland creatures or in people?
No, well, in people, it's a nymphomaniac. In, like, stories, like in mystical.
I'm not sure. It must be something fairy-like, I imagine.
Yeah, it's like a playful, mischievous little fairy, but female only. So she becomes a nymph, right? Nude. Nude as the day she was born, but with leaves and delicate parts. Runs around, silly or giggly. Julia Louise Dreyfus hated this role. Hated it. She never wanted to talk about it. She threatened a walk-off on Jay Leno when he spoke to her about it. Right, years later, Seinfeld fame, he brings it up. She's like, I'm out. If you want to talk about this, I'm out. So the brother, Noah Hathaway, true from Neverending Story, goes around and out to free his sister. I didn't like the fact, because this wizard, I mean, he was the victim. And now he's made into the enemy just because he doesn't fit the human's narrative. He's destroying the human's world. Sonny Bono gets turned into a tree. But let me tell you about the biggest controversy, right? The family are called the Potters, okay? The son, Noah Hathaway's character, is called Harry Potter.
I wonder if J.K. Rowling knew that before she wrote her book.
Ah, well, I can tell you. So Harry Potter comes out a few years later, obviously. And what is it all about? Wizards, magicians, magical realms, magical lands, and a boy called Harry Potter. So she now claims, people start saying, oh, hold on a second here. You've stolen the name and the story. She claims, no, never was. Harry's a name I've always liked. Potter is the surname of my best friend who passed away when she was young, blah, 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 blah. It's just coincidence. The producers of Troll, like, oh, should we sue her? Do you think they sued her? No, because they didn't have the money. They're not taking on J.K. Rowling by this point. They made a shit movie that made no money, right? So that's interesting tidbit about this movie. It's actually a super fun movie. So that's my movie for the week. Just because it's the second appearance of Noah Hathaway, right? It's true. In a couple of years span. Did I ever tell you about the Noah Hathaway story and my cousin, the filmmaker? My cousin gets a DM. Cousin's filmmaker gets a DM from someone. Filmmaker, I know you're into film. Not a DM. That's so creepy. Gets approached by a guy. I've got a movie, self-funding it. I used to be an actor in the 80s, 90s. And I'm going to self-fund my phone. My cousin does some research hooks. It's it true. It's Noah Hathaway. He could have made a movie. He could still be making it. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this. I could be ruining the whole thing. The whole thing's supposed to be a secret. I didn't name my cousin, so nobody knows. How weird would that be that somebody I know is making a movie with the guy from Neverending Story?
That would be typical, actually. Totally typical. But I have to say, Paolo, this movie does sound fun. You said it's a movie I would never watch. I think I'm going to make an effort to watch it. Is it by chance available on YouTube?
Oh, no. It must be the whole Harry Potter thing. So it's not. You can watch enough clips of it. You know when they do that, the clips, they do like 1 to 26. So if you're happy to watch it that way, you cannot watch it on YouTube. I couldn't find it anywhere. I imagine there are some word things that rhyme with abhorrence, you know, that you could find it on. If you're into that, if you feel like that, a good lighthearted romp, troll is not that bad for you. Thank you for considering it, though, Dori. I mean, I feel quite bad. I was quite rude about your movie.
I would never make you watch my movie, Paolo, but I do still want you to watch The Princess Bride.
On your movie, how many penises are there?
There are none. It's Edwardian England. Everybody's wearing 10 layers of clothes.
I can't watch movies set then because I just feel so itchy.
That's a terrible excuse.
I can't watch that shit. Look, it's so itchy. It's just so hot. Because you know they stank.
Oh, yeah. They definitely stank, for sure. And, I mean, those petticoats were washed once a year, so ew.
Okay, so that's Maurice.
Morris.
Morris and Troll for your viewing pleasure this weekend. Compliments of that 80s show. This is that 80s show and White Snake. We just played there. I don't want to do the radio DJ thing. I just have to say we played White Snake. If you're listening on the podcast, we just played White Snake. Here I go again. And Dory, did you know the misheard lyric that goes along with that song?
I don't know it specifically. I'm sure there are many, but I don't know specifically which one you refer to.
This is a true story. This is canon, right? So the chorus kind of goes, here I go again on my own. Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone, right? So when they first released the song, it said, like a hobo, I was born to walk alone, which in the 80s, you could say that. There was a TV show called The Littlest Hobo. You know, nowadays you can't say hobo, right? But it wasn't just that. People heard them saying, like a homo, I was born to walk alone.
I mean, that was definitely not cool in the 80s, like it wasn't cool in Edwardian England.
But to Whitesnake's credit, people are like, no, they like that's not the intention. We're not like that. So they changed it to like a drifter. And I got to say, like, well done to Whitesnake. I mean, that was much – okay, they wore makeup and had long hair. They were full on glam rock. But like they were like, you know what? Let's be sensitive. We cannot have a lyric, even misheard or not, going around. So we'll train it. We'll change it. So how woke? So woke of them.
And it's very funny because, you know, like people changing lyrics these days, like Lizzo and Beyonce having to change lyrics and everyone going, oh, that's because, you know, this is definitely indicative of the times. Meanwhile, Whitesnake did it back in the 80s.
Are they to blame for wokeism? Maybe we got them all wrong.
Whitesnake wokeism.
I actually think I stumbled into a White Snake cosplay event a week ago. We didn't speak about it because I'm a big nerd. I go to a Star Wars trivia evening with my cousins. And I took a photo of a guy that walks in there because he was so gloriously 80s, right, Dory? Before I start describing him, is there any particular feature of his that you would like me to embellish upon?
Well, when you sent the photo through on WhatsApp, I was like, who's that girl? Which should indicate that, of course, you're going to talk about his glorious mane of locks.
My God. So this guy walks in. Walks is the wrong word. My cousin actually described it. And listen, if you're this guy, if you know this guy, right? Well, I'm not giving much detail, so you wouldn't be able to know. Just understand, I'm not making fun of this guy. I admire this guy. I want to be this guy's best friend because this guy is a phenomenal human being. He doesn't walk. He kind of like moved across the floor like he was on Heelys. You know, kids in shopping centers, you see them on Heelys, right? This is how this guy moved, but dead arms, arms dead straight, massive arms. He had this glorious hair that, I mean, Dory, that's not get out, long hair, long. That's not get out of bed hair. That's been time spent on it.
It has been blow waved, care taken.
That's shampoo and conditioner, and that's like leaving it in for 30 minutes, whatever the fuck you do with hair. I don't have hair. I don't know. Okay, his hair is beautiful. Good-looking guy. Very pretty face, cheekbones, smooth skin. Smooth, right? Tight black T-shirt, rippling. Tight, tight blue jeans, white Converse high tops, right? The blue jeans don't go down all the way to the ankles. Stop mid-shin, right? The 80s aesthetic. At that point already, I'm like, that's good 80s, right?
That is primo 80s.
He could have been a bully. He's too pretty to be a bully on an 80s movie. He's too pretty to be a bully at this point. Big guy. But the coup de grace, is that the word? Coup de grace. I don't know. That's the fucking best part. He had a sleeveless leather jacket. Eddie Murphy in Raw Delirious. The one he wore the purple, the one he wore the red leather jumpsuit. That color red and black, half and half. Massive lapel. Couple of studs. There were studs. Sleeveless. Glorious. Where does one even attempt to look for something like that?
Oh, he's had it in his cupboard since the 80s. He's looked after it. He has, like, really taken care, because he knew that the 80s would make a comeback and he would be able to proudly walk out in that jacket.
Because that looked rich leather. That's like, if you care for that, it can last from the 80s. It's not falling away.
Or he just bought it at a shop on the East Rand.
Yeah, it was West Rand. So, yeah, maybe. But listen, glorious 80s man that we saw at the Star Wars trivia evening. You're the best. And just tell me, just admit that you got lost. You're a drifter and you were going to a Whitesnake cosplay event. Rick Astley, one of our favorite people here on that 80s show, never going to give you up. 35 years old.
What?
True story. 35 years old this year, released in 1987. So Rick Astley posts this. This was on the 27th of July. Rick Astley, who gave us a like on Instagram.
Or his people gave us a like on Instagram.
Rick Astley related like. Rick Astley is aware that we exist. Never going to give you up. He's 35 years old today. If it was a person, it would be old enough to be president according to U.S. law. It's really got a life of its own at this point. I just appreciate all the love, fun, and laughter that surrounds it. Here's to the next 35. Rick Hart at POTUS. He wants Never Gonna Give You Up to be president.
It makes it sound like it's what anthropomorphizing, I can't say the word, becoming a living thing, which I suppose it is. I mean, how many times have you been Rickrolled in your life?
But other people are when I just Rickroll myself.
I was Rickrolled the other day by my child. There's this trend on TikTok to do these, I don't know if you see that, these Venn diagrams of, it's like four things. So for example, you'll have British male singer, and then like a name, for example. And then you have to like, it's very complicated. It's a multiple Venn diagram. Anyway, one of them ended up being Rick Astley. And as soon as you put Rick Astley, then the song starts playing. And my kid showed me this and Rickrolled me.
I need to go find this trend ASAP. Do you know that Rick Astley has just come off a North American tour, 56 arenas?
Incredible. Just him by himself, like doing his songs?
I don't know, because wasn't he part of that New Kids on the Block on Vogue thing? Because remember, he was in that, he sang on New Kids on the Block, new song, then they went on a tour together.
And also, we know he's friends with the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, so he has been 56 arenas, Rick Astley. He is living the time of his life. Did you ever hear, so you know Gary Kemp does the podcast called Raconteurs, and I know you listen to it, the one with Rick Astley, where he speaks about discovering Rickrolling.
Yes, and I mean, it was such a great interview. It's long, but worth listening to. But my favorite part of that interview was actually when he spoke about how he lost that famous trench coat that he was wearing in the music video, because he did a crowd surf and people literally ripped it off him.
Imagine being the person with Rick Astley's sweat stain. Do you think he sweats?
It wouldn't smell, though. It would be, you know, perfume-like.
Yeah, it'd be glorious. Rick Astley, never going to give you up becoming president. If you're the person with Rick Astley's trench coat, are you wearing anything underneath it? Are you walking around the house, Rick rolling yourself in butter and Rick Astley's trench coat? So I'm going to wrap up Naughty Dory a few weeks ago. One of the highlights, honestly, of 12 odd years of doing this show. Dory, very rude about Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver. Explain yourself, Dory.
I will not, and I stand by what I said.
So anyway, Dory makes quite a off-color remark about Richard Dean Anderson, may or may not have included where he can put his pocket knife. But it then encourages a debate on our Facebook page about a whole bunch of other 80s heartthrobs. A lot of people agreeing with Dory. Yes, Richard Dean Anderson, and a name pops up of Stringfellow Hawk. So we know Stringfellow Hawk, obviously, he is from Airwolf.
Yes, I mean, I didn't find him quite as delicious as other people might have, but he was all right in his time.
Some people like a man in uniform. He controlled the hell out of that Airwolf, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was a weird TV show, though. Like, it was not, I mean, it was, I suppose, in its, you know what I mean? If you compare it to MacGyver or Knight Rider, it was substandard. I'm sorry.
Dory, we're going to go fight in the parking lot because I love Knight Rider. I mean, vehicular-based TV shows. Right. Oh, sorry, earlier, throwback, the Max Headroom show, right, that we spoke about right in the beginning of the show, which probably feels like 4 hours ago to you, was cancelled because of Miami Vice. Anyway, so when you're talking vehicular shows of the 80s, shows, not movies, you've got Airwolf, A-Team, The Highwayman, Knight Rider. Okay, MacGyver didn't have a car, right? He had a Jeep, didn't he?
Might have, but that's not the memorable part of the show.
So if you want to take it in, right, the A-Team van, different function. Yes, it had like the side turret, the sort of gun seats came out, they could shoot from it. Knight Rider, Michael Knight never controlled Kits. Kits was always in control. Kits operating without Michael Knight, right? Loved it, but why I think ladies loved Stringfellow Hawk was because he just had complete domain or dominion over that hunk of steel, right? Because Airwolf couldn't operate without him. Airwolf was an awesome vehicle, but I mean, he made it work. I think that's why women love him, right? Does it make sense?
I suppose. Maybe I'm just not as enamored by a helicopter as I am like a car like Kit.
You obviously never went to the Ranch show to see Airwolf at the Ranch show, which it wasn't fucking Airwolf, guys. It wasn't Airwolf. It was just a helicopter. It wasn't even black half the years. Bullshit us. Anyway, so that's a lot of trauma for an 80s child. You think you're seeing Airwolf, and a few years later, you look back at the photo, you go, that fucking wasn't Airwolf.
But were people really, like, fooled at the time?
It was like Airwolf is at the Ranch show. It was one of the main things. You go to Airwolf to fly around in Airwolf, right? It wasn't all as Airwolf. It wasn't even black.
So they just got a random helicopter and called it Airwolf and flew kids around in it.
It's called something very different these days. Okay, so we were idiots. We're idiots. Like even the time when Kit was at Cresta, I don't even think it was Kit. I've got to be honest with you. It was in the food court. Wasn't Kit. Anyway, Stringfellow Hawk from Airwolf. He was the hot guy, right? Hot guy, stud. But his life went to like a lot of shit during and after Airwolf, to even the point that they say Airwolf was canceled because of his shenanigans.
I mean, from what I remember, he had a little bit of a problem with alcohol.
Which we're not going to make fun of that. We're just going to talk about this tragic life story, the helicopter clash of his life. Dory, you're here with me. He started out his career with Gary Busey. Look at that. That's Gary Busey over there.
What's that from?
He was in a surfing drama they called it called Big Wednesday. Him and Gary Busey, and they were surfers. Look at those tanned pectoral muscles.
Okay, I could see that he had some looks back in the day.
God, imagine the crew parties with Gary Busey and Jean-Michel Vincent. So in 1970s, he gets arrested three times for cocaine possession, divorced in 1987, and then he ends up on Airwolf, where he was getting paid $200,080 per episode.
Was that higher than the others, like higher than Michael Knight and MacGyver?
He was the highest paid TV actor at the time. Right? This is more than Michael Knight. This is more than the A-Team. Say, so today, Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston share the record. They earn $2 million per episode for The Morning Show, right? There, as you scroll down, there's another beautiful picture of him. And during Airwolf's first season, a drunken bar brawl saw him arrested. And they say he was often under the influence on set. Deborah Pratt's co-star, she said he would start every day with a shot of vodka, and by midday he'd be ripped. I asked him once why he did that. She said, because I don't understand my talent and I don't know why people like me.
That's very sad. That makes me cry.
Constant infidelity, drinking, drug abuse. That is a very sad statement to actually take. I don't understand my talent and I don't know why people like me. So it drove him to drugs and alcoholism, stints in rehab. It then leads to Airwolf. It's just enough is enough. Three seasons. The network just couldn't stand his bad behavior. There were high production costs and attention dipped. There's only so many times. I mean, I love Airwolf, but let's be honest.
I mean, how many times can you watch the helicopter rise out of the desert thing?
Fucking 10 million times. That wasn't the problem. I could watch that all day. I'll watch it straight after the show. What are you talking about? But the rest of it is quite naff. But also, of course, like, he's a bit of a dick, misbehaving. Back in the 80s, they couldn't understand this. So after Airwolf, he spent a lot of time straight to video productions for the rest of his career. Did not amend his ways. He ended up in court on assault charges. A stunt woman brought assault charges against him in the 90s. He kind of disappeared, near-fatal automobile collisions. In 1995, pleaded guilty to drunk driving, suspended licenses. This is when we started seeing him a lot in the Personality magazine, kind of looking like that. And we'll put this photo, this whole article will be on that 80 Show SA Facebook page. And you can see by this point, he's completely troubled and just completely off the rails.
That is not a good picture of him. He's all chubby. His hair's long. He looks sad and overindulged.
Has a major accident in 1996. Requires major surgery. Breaks some vertebrae in his back. And this was the one that damaged his voice. He couldn't really speak after this. Of course, where if you're an actor, you need to speak. He stopped acting. And it's just, you just go through it. 2000, he has to pay out $374,000 of assault charges. There's a barroom brawl. 2000, he's back in jail for 60 days for skipping his probation. More assault charges. Back in jail, back in court, back in jail. Car crash after car crash after car crash. He gave his last interviews in 2007, now aged 63, on the Howard Stern Show. And in both appearances, just like looked absolutely terrible. I mean, this photo in this stage, I remember him. That's from the Howard Stern Show. That is like a deeply, deeply troubled man.
It's very sad. And I mean, he was definitely way worse than Charlie Sheen ever was.
Well, to the point that after all of this, and this is what I remember, he actually had to get his leg amputated eventually because of what they call here peripheral artery disease. So he's either walking around on a prosthetic leg or in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And he passed away aged 74 in February 2019 from a heart attack. So what a tragic, tragic end. Tragic start to the show and tragic end to the show of Stringfellow Hawk, a.k.a. Jean-Michel Vincent. We will always have Airwolf.
We will indeed. But yeah, that's just a, you know, not everybody can manage fame as well as, I mean, who manages it well? I'm sure we've got some examples that we can think of. George Clooney manages fame very well.
Andrew Ridgely manages fame really, really well.
Duran Duran, did you see how they looked at the Commonwealth Games?
Oh, Dory, just take a moment to talk about that before we wrap the show.
I mean, guys, it's already on the Facebook page. There is a performance of Duran Duran at the Commonwealth Games. Yes, they've aged. We've all aged. But wow. And you know, I've got a thing for Nick Rhodes. And Nick Rhodes looks resplendent in a pink shirt with a bright yellow suit. It's just a thing of beauty. It's the most 80s thing I've seen all year.
In the year of 2022.
But and they sound great still. Simon Bond still sounds good. They've done it well.
That's what I was just going to say. I mean, they look great, but a great performance. And also like a very mature performance, because they didn't just try to roll out the stuff that they did. I mean, they did their old songs, but they kind of did it in a new way, right? That's what I enjoyed the most about it.
I think they gave the audience what they wanted.
I haven't seen any nipples. So, Tori, before we wrap up, your favorite thing that you've learned from today's show?
Just the mental image I have of Julia Louis-Dreyfus as a naked nymph will live on in my brain forever, which is why I need to watch the movie now.
Naked Elaine, and imagine her dancing like Elaine does in Seinfeld, nude. That's going to do it for you. Everything you've heard on the show today, That 80 Show SA, plug that name, That 80 Show SA, into Facebook and get the show in any formats as a podcast. It gets posted on YouTube as a video. I really got to sort that page out. That's pretty slack of me. Dori, thanks again for joining me. Goodbye.
Goodbye.